Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 568 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. I am Kevin Huntsberger, and I apologize in advance for missing the obvious 5-6-7 joke on last week's podcast. If Chad, I know you're not hip and cool, but the kids these days are making jokes out of 6-7. I still haven't fully caught on with it, but apparently it's a thing, and I missed out on it last week. So
are you familiar with it? I mean, I've heard of it, but I thought it was like 6 months ago. I thought kids were already past it.
No, but they're still, I mean, I'm still seeing it on TikTok. And
I don't know. Yeah, I don't watch TikTok. So I know you keep sending me reels on TikTok, and I take like 6 weeks to watch them because I still don't understand TikTok.
I've tempered the amount of stuff I send to you on TikTok and just keep it mostly now to Instagram, because I know that's where you're at. So
exactly. But real quick, speaking 5-6-8, you know, been promoting 615 or 618.
619.
619. Sorry, 618. You should get somebody for, you should get, I don't know, Axe Allwort to be on the show.
There
615.
You go.
You should get Jeff Jarrett to be on the show. But I just realized you missed trying to get Francine on the show for 469.
Did you not? I guess you didn't watch episode 469.
I did
actually make reference to it.
I
thought it might be a little, you know, in you know, 2025 or 2024 when episode 469 dropped, but I was afraid of cancel culture and being douche about it, so I politely or quietly laughed at the joke and then rolled on. I think I mentioned it on that episode. I don't remember now, but So yeah, no, that was a good opportunity. I have to think about 573 because that is the Cape Girardeau area code. So maybe I can get someone from Cape Championship Wrestling that is now defunct, but maybe we'll find someone. You mentioned Axe Allwort; he is actually from that area, so maybe he'll be my guest. Speaking of Axe, he and many others return this Friday night. If you're listening the week this show drops, October 10th at Crab Orchard High School. So be sure to check that out. It is Stride Pro Wrestling, the return, just one night only. Go check out that podcast from last week, episode 567. So enough podcast number talk. We're going to talk about John Cena in just a little bit, his last match and kind of some fan theory and speculation and maybe even some of our own fantasy booking, if you will. But before we get there, in October, I typically like to do Halloween-themed shows, but I don't know that those always age as well because it is more, you know, of that time. So we're going to just do some Halloween games this month, I think, where we do blind rankings and other things. And Chad, if you have any ideas along the way, throw them out. But we're going to do a blind ranking where I ask Chad, I give him five different wrestlers, and he's going to blind rank them. And this one probably is kind of lame, but I didn't really have any other ideas. So we're going to go with the five scariest wrestlers. And I'm going to let you decide in your mind, is this like supernatural scary, like The Undertaker, or is this kind of the hokey, silly scariness? You know, because I think there are two different kinds of scary when it comes to wrestling. And maybe as we became adults, they weren't as scary. Psychological versus like the silliness of a boogeyman or, you know, versus they say Cactus Jack different levels of scary. So, and I've got a mix of those on here just to give you a fair warning. So you can decide who you feel is the scariest of these five wrestlers. So you're going scariest to least scary. And we're going to start off, since it is the anniversary of his debut, we were both there for it, Kane. And we'll go with the original Kane, the Hellfire and Brimstone's version of the character.
I mean, he was very intimidating when he first came out, until he learned to speak, because I think all mutes are a little frightening. since we're starting off, I'm going to put him at three, just to give us a baseline.
All righty, a baseline at number three for Kane. The next one, from the jungle of Uganda, Kamala. And obviously, before he met Slick and learned how to bowl.
Yes. I was going to say, this one depends on which era of Kamala you're in. If you go back to WCW, you know, I think he was more of the Ugandan headhunter type native, whereas in WWE, he was more of the simpleton person. So when I even him out, I'm going to say a four.
Four. All righty. Yeah. Next one, the late, great Bruiser Brody. Remember much of Brody?
We've talked about it before. I got into wrestling, I think, when was he, his ill-fated trip to Puerto Rico?
1988.
Okay. So I was watching wrestling prior to that, but I think, WWF took over the wrestling at the Chase spot around 85.
Yeah.
So my knowledge of Bruiser was very limited, but he was, when you're discussing what makes somebody scary, he was one of the top two guys that I was thinking of. So I'm going to put him at number one based on reputation. Yeah.
All righty. I like it. All right. This next one, we saw him at WrestleMania. He's got the worms. It is the Boogeyman.
Negative 200. I'm going to get five.
You're going to go five with him. Okay.
I mean, he's scary in the way that I'm afraid that he's going to be on my TV and I'm going to have to sit through one of his segments, but I don't find him intimidating.
Well, and I think that was, and that's where I was kind of going with having this mix, because I think, back in the day, at that WrestleMania era, because I believe, didn't he wrestle Booker T or King Booker and Queen Charmella when we saw him at WrestleMania? And they were like legitimately scared of him. And I guess maybe as adults, we didn't view it the same way as a kid would view it. I don't know. But he was also a face. So it's kind of hard to be a scary face, I think. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I guess The Undertaker and Kane were able to pull it off. But it's a talent for sure. The last one obviously is going to be number two, but that is The Fiend, Bray Wyatt.
I think number two fits perfectly in there because he... Yeah. I was thinking my other number one potential pick would have been New Jack, and that would have just been someone who you don't want to meet. Although, I did meet him at a TNA show. He was very nice. I remember we were standing outside the Nashville Fairgrounds, and we took a photo. It was like a little after 9 o'clock, and the flash didn't go off. And he was just like, "You got to take that again. Otherwise, are you going to see his eyes and teeth? Come on."
Well, and that's a good, Again, he's one of those that's not the over-the-top horror movie character. He is one of those real-life,
psychos. Yeah,
this guy is going to beat your ass and
not feel guilty about it. Yeah,
exactly. And I believe back, in 2020, during those COVID years, I did a whole 31-day series on TikTok of the scariest wrestlers, and New Jack was on the. I don't remember. I don't think I had Boogeyman on there, but I think all the rest of these individuals were. So, I think you're right about it being down to the era of when you're watching, because obviously Kamala in those early days, I agree, was from, I think World Class and Memphis, where the gimmick actually started, they had that all down right, I think, with kind of, I believed, I really thought that this guy was from Uganda and was this savage. And then obviously, as you get a little older and they're all playing characters, if you will, But yeah, it was a well done, and Kamala is amongst my, if I did a Mount Rushmore of gimmicks, which we'll probably do at some point here on the show too, Kamala is definitely on mine. But you know, going back on Brody as well, I grew up again in a house that watched wrestling at the Chase. Even before I was a fan, I knew who Bruiser Brody was. So he's just one of those guys that I will never forget the impact. And one of the very first shows I went to, it was Brody versus Ric Flair in the main event. So I have a fondness for Bruiser Brody, and always wonder what would have happened had he jumped to the WWF. I think, you know, in that era, he would have obviously been cartoonified and made into one of the many giants that Hulk Hogan slayed through the years, which I don't think is a bad thing. You know, look at Kamala and Big John Studd and Andre. You know, those guys all became household, or, you know, at least higher echelon wrestling fans, where they knew who they were. They had action figures and all probably were compensated pretty well for that. So, but yeah, good list. Thank you for participating and playing. And like I said, hopefully all month long, we'll do more of these blind rankings or some sort of Halloween-ish kind of game to go along with it. Speaking of Halloween, do you know, is WWE doing the Halloween Havoc this month like they've done the last few years on NXT?
I would think so, but I know the
invasion thing now.
Showdown, can't call it invasion.
Yeah, because is that because of where it's being held, or is that something?
No, I think it's because of the date that it's being held on.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I'm going to derail the conversation right now. But how do you feel about the big NXT versus WWE invasion storyline? I know I said invasion when we just said we can't say invasion, but
showdown. I mean, honestly, I don't get CW. I'm really just staying up to date based on the social media clips that I see. But yeah, it's interesting because it is a lot. It's almost kind of reminiscent though of the original, or I don't say original, but the invasion angle from 2001. You know, there were a lot of, there had the potential of having a lot of.
Yeah. When your final team at Survivor Series is made up of four out of the five guys, I believe, have been in WWF for over a year. Yeah.
So it does make it, and you know, that whole angle too with even Team WWE. You know, Chris Jericho was on that, and I think he had only been in the WWF 2 years at that point, and people still associated, or you know, you could have made the argument for him being Team WC. Yeah, like it would have made more sense for him to be Team WCW than Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
At the time. But I think if we had a magic wand and we could have made things, you know, I don't know. Do you delay the invasion angle until all of those big name guys were through with their contract? Because I don't blame Hulk Hogan and Kevin Nash and Ric Flair for staying at home and cashing their checks. Did WWF rush that whole angle? Because Booker T eventually became, but he wasn't at the time. I don't think he was on that same plane as, you know, I think he obviously became the most successful star to come from WCW to the WWF in that invasion timeline. You know, DDP and Booker T, though, I don't think were solid enough to carry that storyline. They needed Goldberg or Nash or Hall or Hogan or Flair or Sting or Steiner. To help.
I would say I think they probably need a Goldberg or Sting because those are two WCW guys. Yes. If you brought in Hogan, Nash, Hall, you know, those were WWF guys still. Like, I mean, they had the connection to WWF to where, you know, I think the problem was just the fact that WCW never got the upper hand. And ECW, you know, and you add, even when you add ECW in, like, they were all treated as less than. And
yeah,
like DDP and Booker T, who were, you know, world champions, just were, you know, you bring in DDP and make him a stalker of The Undertaker when we all know that DDP at the time was married to Kimberly. Like, it just didn't make sense in that storyline aspect. And And it, DDP just felt disconnected from the whole invasion aspect of it. So yeah. I think, you know, and I'm, it would be great if Bruce Pritchard could give a full and honest telling of what the mindset was and the thinking of that time. But I think there were a lot of issues with the way it was done. I do think maybe it was rushed. And then, you know, when you have the first WCW match, which was Buff versus Booker T, again, I don't think Buff was in a position to be a star player. You know, and you do it in an area that WCW wasn't popular.
Right.
You know, they did it in, I believe, in Oregon or Washington. And again, you know, for the 4 years, WWF had talked about how bad WCW was. You'd not expect your, you know, and then you expect your fans to care about these guys that you've been burying already. So
I think one thing I've learned through the years is there is a stark difference between being a WWE fan and being a wrestling fan.
Oh, I agree. And
that's not knocking anybody's preferences or no. personalities, but I do think, you know, I've gone back and I've listened to some of the, I actually went back and listened to an old, I don't know, I know you don't keep up with the podcast world, but Bruce Pritchard hasn't been on Something to Wrestle With since November of last year. And JBL has been the temporary / permanent replacement host. And Bruce is supposedly coming back. But anyway, and I've grown to actually like JBL. I wasn't crazy about JBL ever as a wrestler, except for when he was in the APA. But, you know, listening to him on this podcast, it has been very interesting and very telling. But I miss Bruce. And so I went back and listened to an old episode, and it actually happened to be the WrestleMania 8 18? Episode. No, the WrestleMania 8, but they had referenced some of the invasion stuff in that podcast for whatever reason. But anyway, you know, because they were talking about Ric Flair being in the WWF at the time of WrestleMania 8 and how, you know, you and I were diehard fans. We knew who Ric Flair was, but there was the segment of the population who didn't know who Ric Flair was. And it's not because they weren't fans of wrestling, but they were more into that WWF program. And that's why the whole Hogan Flair main event never happened at WrestleMania. And there's all kinds of other reasons, but it is interesting to me that by the show that the invasion happened, WCW had proven itself. You know, they were killing WWF at one point in the ratings, WWE in the ratings. So to say that people didn't know who DDP or Booker T or Buff Bagwell were, I think is a flimsy argument at this point. And I'm curious to see what will happen if WWE buys, or I guess TKO buys TNA. And what happens there? You know, does this talent come in? Do they keep it separate? Like, I think they're a WWE is a not a full owner of AAA now. Right. Will they keep that? Because I'll be honest, I like the injection of Omos and Dominic and some of the WWE talent into AAA, because AAA is not, and it's no, you know. I don't have the time to watch another wrestling company, but I will watch the highlights and the clips if it's coming through my feed. I'm not going to necessarily seek those out without, you know, it's to me, it's like kind of going and seeing a band, a concert. And if it's a band I'm not familiar with, but they're going to play a couple of cover tunes, then yeah, I'm going to be more inclined to listen because it's something I'm familiar with. And I'm just at that point in my life where that's the way it is. So yeah, I will watch and see, but I like that they've still kind of kept it, which I think at one point they had talked about doing with WCW, making WCW an individual brand still under the WWF or WWE umbrella. If they do this with TNA, I hope they kind of go the route that they've done with AAA so far, but then also give that TNA talent, especially the homegrown talent. And I'm not talking about the Matt Cardonas of the world, but the folks that are at TNA that started there that have, you know, because AJ Styles, you can make the argument where, well, he could jump and help Team TNA. But again, I'm not following the angle closely enough to see where it's headed or what they're doing with it. But what do you think WWE will purchase TNA at some point?
I wouldn't be surprised, but I would think maybe they would do like with what they've done with AAA, where they don't buy it outright, but they become a stakeholder. I just, other than owning more of the wrestling promotion, I don't see what's in it for WWE. I think, and you know, it's been what, almost a year now that the agreement between the two companies has been going on. And I personally don't see what, I guess TNA is getting more, some publicity out of it or knowledge, but when it comes to, you know, I think their women's champion is an NXT wrestler. Their heavyweight champion is an NXT wrestler. Like, I don't, as a TNA fan, I would be upset that they seem to be ending up on the short end of the stick all the time. Again, we go back to the original invasion, and that's where WCW was, you know. Right. Booker T is a five-time champion, and he comes in and immediately loses to The Rock. Mm-hmm. The Rock's the WCW champion. And so, I just, you know, WWE has taken Jordan Grace from TNA. Right. Allegedly, supposedly, possibly Joe Hendry will be joining WWE as soon as his contract is up, you know. And he's another one that I'm like, I think the hype was bigger than the actual results. Like, I think he was more viral around WrestleMania time than he is now.
Oh, sure.
But again, I don't watch TNA on a weekly basis. I don't have CW, so I'm not watching NXT. So like you, I'm just keeping up through online stuff, and I don't. So maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. And all I know is NXT gets better ratings than, I guess, all the other shows. So NXT is the best because that's what ratings mean.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's what they say.
That's why 2.5 Men is the greatest show ever on television.
Wow. Okay. On that note, we're going to switch over to our boy, our man of the hour, our man of the topic of discussion, John Cena. Do a little fantasy, do a little reality here with John Cena. Obviously, I think we are, as we are recording this, 4 more appearances from John Cena. Let me start off with this. Do you think December 13th is it? Are we done with John Cena as a wrestler on December 13th, 2025, Saturday night's main event?
I think so. I mean, that's what they've been building up. I have my issues with WWE's promotion in the past of Cena and Rock at WrestleMania 28 being one time only or once in a lifetime. And then we got the same match a year later that I got to pay again to see. Mm-hmm. But I think I think Cena's career has just been, you know, right now he's busy with all of his filming projects. I don't think he's got the time necessarily to devote to, I mean, I would think that he would want to go out at WrestleMania, but.
Right. Movie but if schedules this is, may not dictate that, right?
Yeah, movie schedules may not dictate it. And also it's just like you in at the end of the year and you're done and you move on into 2026 as a new chapter in life. So I think Saturday night's main event will be the last, not the last time we see John Cena, but the last match of John Cena.
Yeah, because, you know, there's been speculation that The Rock somehow gets involved in this, and then we get Rock Cena at WrestleMania 20 or 42. Wow. I'm torn on all of that. I'm with you. I think, and this would be WWE doing it to itself, not Ric Flair, you know, because I thought the hype up and the buildup for Ric Flair's last match, the send off and all of that was picture perfect. And then, you know, 18 months later or whatever it was, I'm not going to say he ruined that. But man, I really wish 2008 would have been it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say I feel robbed of it because, you know, we were still part of it. And at that moment, that was a magical time, or magical, not the right word, but you know what I'm saying. It was cool to be a part of that history, to see the last match and then to see that amazing send off and with Cena. And I think, you know, with Cena, he's one of those guys that I just feel like doesn't, you know, beat around the bush. He doesn't, you know, BS or anything like that. If he's done, he's going to be done. And I don't think that the Saudis will throw any amount of money that will bring him back. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm with you. I think that December 13th will be it. Let me ask you, let's backtrack to February of 2025. Mm. Elimination Chamber, and we get the John Cena heel turn. Was the heel turn necessary? Was this a last-ditch effort to try something different? How would things have been different? Would you have done the heel turn and kept him heel all the way through? Let me hear your thoughts on the heel run of John Cena.
I think the heel turn was an interesting choice for his last year, because having announced that it was going to be his last year, you would expect the fans to be cheering him on his way out. Mm-hmm. So to finally give into the heel turn adds a bit of, I guess, uncertainty maybe to that. But it's like, but then you're asking fans to boo him when they know this is the last they're going to see of him.
Right.
You know, and also the fact that he didn't change anything up about his persona. I think that was not a wise decision. Because it, again, you're not separating heel Cena from face Cena. You know, when Hulk Hogan joined the NWO, he got rid of the yellow and orange and went for the black look.
That's exactly what I was going to do kind of as a talking point too, is because everyone talks about, or, you know, when Cena turned in February, you know, everybody immediately compared it to Hogan turning. And yes, I was legitimately surprised by Cena's turn.
Yeah.
But then it's okay, what happens next?
Next. And that's, and
I don't think that that's being overly critical, but I think you're right. Had he come out as more of a corporate scene, you know, it's kind of like when Austin turned or when Austin became babyface and McMahon wanted him to become the corporate champion and all, you know, all of that. Yeah. And that all kind of blew, you know, because he's still coming out to the same music. Did he come out to the same music, or did they tweak? They tweaked his intro, right?
His intro was just a black, I think. Yeah, the black suit, John Cena. Black, yeah.
Yeah. But besides that, they didn't do anything. And I do think that if they really wanted to go on, but then, you know, you go back, it's John Cena. He's still doing the Make-A-Wish stuff. He's still, you know. Yeah. It was just, and in 2025, you know, 1996, it worked because there was no social media. And I do think that they did it much better with changing Hogan's look. Mm. They didn't change anything about Cena's look. They just, you know, basically made him kind of a crybaby, which I guess can work at times. But the Cena heel turn project, I think, largely, like you said, it was a fail because of the lack of.
There's several things there. And one of them, first one, it'll be something I'm going to throw out now for a possible conversation on another episode. Mm-hmm. And that is WWE books moments. And so they said, oh, Cena turning heel will be a shocking moment. Mm-hmm. But then you have to figure out, how do you follow up that moment? And I don't think they really had I don't know if you've watched Unreal yet or not when they discuss it. And, you know, there's the speculation how much of it is actually real and unreal itself. Mm-hmm. But the fallout then, again, you know, Rock turns, or Cena turns to join the Rock, then the Rock disappears.
Right.
So it's like, did Rock sabotage the heel turn himself because whatever reason, or was there legitimate no, you know, they knew that Rock wouldn't show up, be able to show up at WrestleMania, and they couldn't follow up on the turn. Cena also isn't there every week. So you're not getting a weekly story. You're getting maybe a month chapter at a time. And like I said, Cena, his reasoning for being a heel had some legitimacy if he'd done it 5 years ago.
Right.
But now you're like, oh, all the stuff that I've joked about and have played off for 5 years, now it's affecting me in my final year. Like, it just didn't make sense. And then, I think also the matches that he was put into weren't what people wanted to see on his way out. And that's, I guess, where we'll get in with, you know, the booking of his last four is like, should he have been just having a greatest hits run, or should he have been putting over or you know, wrestling newer talent, younger talent?
And let's talk about that, because, you know, it has become, and I mentioned it earlier, when I go to a concert and mm-hmm. it's a cover band, I want to hear the songs that I know, not their hits.
Yeah.
And so it's comparable, I guess, to an extent with this, but I know all of the talent on the WWE roster, you know, mm-hmm. The newcomers, and then the folks that have been there a long time. And with John Cena, Cody Rhodes was a kind of a new thing for him. This incarnation of Cody. Mm-hmm. We saw him wrestle as Stardust. We saw him as Dashing Cody Rhodes. They wrestled a few times. But, you know, as American Nightmare, white meat, babyface Cody Rhodes, mm-hmm. that was something different. But then we get CM Punk. We get Randy Orton. We get Ron Killing, or R-Truth. Which that was also.
Is he still with WWE?
He is. There's a new Ron Cena. It's not a figure. It's one of the, I forget the company that does them, but they're pillows or the.
Oh, okay. Have you listened to the new Ron Killings album? Speaking of music.
Oh no, I haven't.
Yeah.
Okay. We had talked about that though. We need to do a Music Mania on that.
Yeah, I don't think we do, but okay.
Okay. I'll trust your word on that. So yeah, it has seemingly been replaying of the hits. I guess we're getting AJ Styles at Crown Jewel, which I'm not even sure when is Crown Jewel. It's coming up.
Is it this weekend?
Okay, it might be.
I don't know. I don't have ESPN, so I don't care.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar. Speaking of ESPN, so we've kind of done all of the major ones. But do you think it should have been? Because like you just said, we're booking moments. There are superstars on that roster now that haven't had this many different opponents in a couple of year time span, much less in a, 8 month time span that we're looking at right now with the Cena heel turn or the Cena return. So should it have been more of a, I'm going to work with, and I'm trying to think of someone that's kind of at that level, you know, maybe Gunther. I've seen his name pop up as the last potential last opponent. You know, should he have been working with those kind of talents in a storyline to build them up to take them to that next level? Because as much success as Gunther has had, to me, it hasn't clicked. I'm not on the Gunther page, if you will. He's a great upper mid-level talent, in my opinion, but I don't see him main eventing a WrestleMania, at least not yet.
You know, he was in the co-main event of WrestleMania this year, right?
I am aware. And when I say main event, I mean closing out. And
yes, I know what you mean. I'm
even night sarcastic. One. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know. I know you were. I know you were.
You know, and this is with hindsight being 2020. I think putting the title on Cena was a mistake as well. And they only did it to have him be the 17-time world champion. Mm-hmm. I still think AEW should have brought Flair in and given him the title for a week just to screw with WWE. But I don't think Cena should have been champion, because the champion then limits who his credible challengers are going to be. Mm-hmm. And I think I would have rather seen, especially as we said, Cena's not there week to week to build interesting stories. You know, like this match coming up at Crown Jewel with AJ Styles, it was made on social media, and I don't know if AJ's mentioned it on Raw, because I don't have Netflix, so I don't watch Raw either, but Cena's not there to promote the match with AJ,
right?
You know,
right?
So I think what would have been better would have been Cena picking his opponents and maybe even laying them out in months in advance and say, okay, look, this is, I have 8 matches left, these are the guys I want to face. And it's not a storyline. It's not a, you know, it's just to see, can I still hang with them, or who's the better wrestler, or hey, we had a great match in the past, let's relive it one more time. And yeah. B, I guess kind of that greatest hits with some new tracks mixed in to keep the band moment. You know, if he wanted to face Gunther, have him say like, hey, I've been watching you, you're great, I want to see what you got. And I think even if you'd had him face Logan Paul in that type of situation where he's like, hey, you've come in, you've been great, I want to get in the ring with you. I think fans probably still would have wanted to see Cena face someone else, but I think they could have bought into the Cena Logan Paul match more than, oh, Logan's challenging him for the title type match.
Right. And, you know, we're in 2025, you know, the world is different in terms of how we are consuming content and whatnot. And we had kind of, you know, I couldn't imagine in 1989, if Hulk Hogan said, I'm done, brother. And it being on a Saturday night's main event, which aired at 10:30, you know, Central Time. It was previously recorded. I couldn't imagine that being the end of Hulkamania going out that way. Now with streaming and, you know, virtually anyone can watch this match live if you have Peacock. And with social media, people will be streaming it live via social media channels. They do it on TikTok all the time. You had mentioned, you know, should Survivor, and I say mentioned, it was a message that we had a couple of weeks. I was actually scrolling through trying to find the old message, but, you know, should Survivor Series, which is to me still one of the big four events, PLEs, pay-per-views, should Cena's last match be there? And then Saturday night's main event is kind of that, like Raw was with Ric Flair's last match. You know, it's more of an appreciation, acknowledgement, you know, bringing out the red carpet and celebrating the career of John Cena. So where do you sit or stand on that idea of should Survivor Series? And then if we do Survivor Series, War Games, is Cena a part of the War Games match itself, or does he have his own opponent, or is it John Cena versus five of his past?
For me personally, I think I would rather see Cena have that final match at Survivor Series, being a big show, not being in a All Survivor Series. Yes, that would, you know, Cena won his first WWE championship, not heavyweight title or world title, but first title from Big Show. So it would be perfect closing. I would do it at Survivor Series, not having be in a Survivor Series match or a War Games match. Have him be, and this would be the pick your final opponent. Who do you want to? And it's going to be Baron Corbin, and you're going to bring him back in from MLW for a one-time only appearance. You know, and I would be curious, and this is totally off subject, it's kind of, but if he wanted it to be Edge, could they work out a deal with AEW to bring Edge back for one night? Although Edge is apparently filming a new show, so I don't know what his schedule's like, but you know, it's those types of things that happen where you're like, can the companies coexist, you know, for
well, one and night? I that's on my list to ask about too. Is there has been that speculation, you know, I guess at the All In, All Out in Canada, Edge did the, or Cope did the You Can't See Me. And then I guess at WrestlePalooza, Cena did the spear. You know, the amped up thing in the corner, like Edge used to do, Edge Cope, you know, what I'm talking about. And then there, and again, you read shit all the time and you don't know what's true and what's not true. You know, the speculation was that Edge, his contract is up at the end of the year, and that he was going to jump back to, or Cope was going to jump back to the WWE and be Cena's final opponent in time for that December 13th cutoff.
Yeah.
Is there any validity to that as far as you know? Have you seen any,
I don't know,
reason still, to believe that he could be jumping
back? I mean, I don't know. Cope doesn't return my phone calls anymore. So well, I don't know.
You watch AEW every week, and
I do. And I mean,
all about Tony's announcement. So have they written Edge off of TV?
Cope was written off TV after All Out. Because Beth mm-hmm. Copeland showed up at All Out, got I think pile driven by FTR.
Yeah.
Cope comes up to Christian next Dynamite, says, "Hey, I've got to take care of my family. I'll be gone for a while." And that's where speculation was, okay, his contract's up, he's going back. But then news came out that apparently he's filming the next season of Percy Jackson for Disney mm-hmm. Plus.
Okay.
I don't know. Again, I don't know what that schedule is like. I don't know how big of a role Cope has. But so I don't know. I would hope that if Cope was leaving, there would be something more done in AEW to write him off. I would have think FTR would have attacked him and written him off instead of just saying, "Peace out. I'll see ya."
Yeah. These guys beat my wife up and now I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Is how it feels, at least.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing. So you like, he has to come back and get revenge at some point.
Yeah.
Although I think kicking out of three of their finishers and then pinning them with a soft hug seemed to be enough to get him over. I don't know.
But could there be an agreement? Realistically, would you ever see a day? Will we ever see a day where a WWE contracted talent wrestles on an AEW event and vice versa? Are the egos too big there, or could it happen?
I want to say, and this is probably the mark in me saying, if Cope went to TK and said, "Look, this is a good friend. I want to, you know, have that." If Cena called and requested that match to happen, mm-hmm. I would hope TK would say, "One night only. Go." It's not going to, especially since Saturday Night's Main Event is not going up against the World's End pay-per-view, even though apparently WWE tried to move it and NBC was like, "No, you got this date." If it was going up against an AEW show, I could see him saying no. But if it's not in direct competition, what's it going to hurt, you know?
But what's it going to help? What benefit does Tony Khan get from because they're going to call him Edge if he shows up on the other channel?
Goodwill of fans. That's basically it. It's showing your talent that you care, I guess. You know, it's just a good personal moment.
I don't disagree with you at all. I think it would be amazing. But if I were Tony Khan, I would, because you do have a big piece here. Yeah. I'd play a move and say, "Hey, we'll do this, but for the next 6 months or the next year, you guys can't schedule something on the same day that we've already, once we've announced our schedule, and let's maybe work together on." But I've also seen where fans, enjoy the fact that AEW has moved their events to the afternoon, because it doesn't, those 6-hour pay-per-views are more digestible when they start at noon. Starting at 6 p.m.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like the early, especially here on the West Coast, where it starts at like 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. I'm all for that.
You're all in?
I'm all in. And and my bank account is all out.
But do you think Edge, on a scale from 1 to 10, how likely, let's do a likeliness of Cena's last opponent. How likely is Edge to be even on that list of whether we know that there are 4 more matches, or is it 4 more matches?
4 more appearances, I think.
Okay, so we know.
Well, he's got Perth.
Yeah,
Jake Crown Jewel with AJ.
Yeah,
and then I think he's got one more Raw appearance.
One more Raw,
and then Survivor Series.
So there's 4 more appearances. We're going to speculate that at least 3 of those are going to be matches. Just for the sake of argument. Perth is out because we know that's AJ.
AJ.
So we're down to 3. And I'm going to backtrack again. Sorry.
Yeah.
If they do Saturday Night's Main Event, final match, XY opponent, then that's December 13th. December 15th, which is that Monday, do they do a big celebratory farewell? to me, Cena had a career that is worthy of celebrating, but has all of this already been the cell? Like, will we get that big fanfare, or will that happen? Will that all come at Saturday night's main event? And then will we, obviously we would have fewer matches, I think, but with it not being on, I don't believe it's on NBC this time around. I think it's just on Peacock. So there's really not going to probably be that time constraint that we saw with Goldberg's last match and the cutoff there.
Yeah. And rumor is that the reason it's only streaming on Peacock is because of the ratings were so bad for the Goldberg one. Or also because the whole ESPN switchover. I think, like you said, with Ric Flair, when they did the Raw celebration afterwards, I think that's how you end the career. I don't think having Cena wrestle at Saturday Night's main event and then that be it. I think the fans will need that closure to really say, okay, this is it. Because if he just wrestles, leaves his gear in the ring and walks out, you know, there's still that, hey, there could be one more match. There could be, you know, he could come back at Mania. But I think when you get that final send off, hopefully that's it.
So likelihood that it's Cope or Edge?
2 out of 10
2 out of 10 Okay. I'm with you. I would love it. I think that, you know, when I think back on Cena's good feuds, great feuds, I feel like that feud actually helped create the rated R superstar and Edge. I'll credit Mick Foley in that that mix as well. But I think that when I think of Cena's great rivalries, Punk, Randy Orton, Edge, I think it's those top three for me. Brock Lesnar, you know, we saw Cena get destroyed at WrestlePalooza. It happened, you know, Cena always gets his ass kicked by Brock. Does Cena come back? And I guess this is a twofold question. Does Cena come back then at Saturday night's main event and beat Lesnar to kind of put that nice happy bow on his career? Does that happen, or does Cena need to win that last match, or does he lose it to a Dominic Mysterio? I'm trying to think of someone else that's kind of on that Braun Breaker. Does he
Grande Americano?
Yeah, does he lose to someone like that to kind of put that feather in their cap, a Gunther? Gives him that credibility, because the last match dynamic is always an interesting one. You know, we saw with AEW kind of go a different route with Sting winning, or did they win or did they retain the tag
team? They retained the tag titles.
So he and Darby Allin retained the tag team titles, went out on a high note, and I have no problem with that. I think that Kurt Angle should have beaten Baron Corbin. I was never a Baron Corbin fan. You know, Ric Flair, obviously the stipulation was if he loses, he has to retire. But then Ric Flair's final last match with Andrade versus Double J and Jay Savage, Jay Lethal, you know, Flair obviously wins that one. You know, I don't think, you know, Goldberg lost his last match. I don't think we as fans need that victory, but with Cena, damn, I really hope he wins the last match and fades off into the sunset as the hero. I don't know why. There's something different with him that I can't really put my finger on, unless he is going to put over a Dominic or someone that they really are going to do something with. Because I think part of my problem with Kurt Angle and Baron Corbin was they pussed around and didn't do anything with Baron Corbin after that. So,
well, and I would say
they're going to do something with.
Yeah. And I would say to that effect, my hesitation with Cena putting someone over is WrestleMania 39. Cena put over Austin Theory.
Yeah.
And then, you know, did it help Theory at all in the next 2 years? No. So if you're not going to have a plan for someone, and again, this goes back to booking moments as opposed to having a full plan.
Yeah.
I don't think he needs to wrestle Brock because he's already done that this year. And the match wasn't well received from what I've read. And I don't know if that's just because Cena lost or because it just seemed to be, a Brock Lesnar spam fest. I haven't seen any footage of the match, so I can't comment.
Right.
But I would, if he's not going out against, and he's already fought Orton and he's fought Punk and he's fought R-Truth. Again, Edge is that only last infinity stone on his gauntlet of mm-hmm. people that you would want to see him cap off the story. Yeah. With. If he's not going to be able to finish against Edge, I think the match needs to come out and be him saying, this is who I want to end my career against. And it has to be, I don't know if it has to be someone decent. I mean, it could be, I think as long as it's Cena's choice,
mm-hmm.
whereas, Angle didn't get to choose Baron Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
But if Cena got to choose his opponent, even if it's Dragon Lee, make it be Cena's choice. And then the win or lose, I think, I don't know. I still think you need that celebration, that ending wrap up, and not just be a match cut, Cena disappears, Pucci goes back to his home planet type mm-hmm. situation.
Right. So if he's, like you said, if John Cena decides, okay, I've wrestled my past nemesis, of Orton and Punk so now tonight, or for my last match, I'm picking someone on the active roster who is coming up. My last match is going to be against blank. Are you thinking Logan Paul comes back and gets the win? Does he need that kind of credibility? Is it someone like Dominic Mysterio? Is it Braun Breaker? I mean, those are the three talents I think of right now that are kind of, I don't want to necessarily say the future of the WWE, but I think that there's a lot of upside to all three of those guys right now. They've got momentum and power going on. Or is it a Seth Rollins where he, we know he's not going to win the championship, but that's another one of those feuds from the past that could potentially rekindle. Or we haven't mentioned his name, but Chris Jericho. I don't know what the future of Jericho it looks like either.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Yeah.
Just based on internet speculation and fan service, I think if you're going with a up-and-comer, I think Oba Femi from NXT, or do you bring in Joe Hendry and give him that, especially if he's coming to WWE proper, then give him that introduction that way.
Wow. Interesting.
I don't know. I don't know. I think part of this is, again, based on how bad the Cena heel turn was and just the lack of Cena appearance overall. For me personally, I'm not that invested in the farewell tour anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have the faith that they're going to do something good to end it. I think it's just going to happen. And then it'll be like, oh, okay, now we have Royal Rumble coming up or whatever is going to be in January. It's like they move on to the next thing quickly.
And I think, we're already gone a long time here, and this will be kind of winding down point. But I think that's also the difference between if Vince McMahon were booking this and with TKO. And I know it's mm-hmm. Triple H and, the creative team that's there now. But I think that even Triple H is under, falling under that corporate structure of we're here to make money versus we're mm-hmm. here to tell stories and entertain, because it's been a whole marketing bonanza with the different colored shirts, the final tour of, the final stop. And the last time you're going to see him in St. Louis, the last time you're going to see him in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
get your merch, get your, green, the green t-shirt in Chicago, the yellow t-shirt in whatever the color scheme was or whatever. Yeah. And it's worked, you see the fans and the kids, they've bought into this.
Kevin Owens. Yeah.
The figures that are coming out and all of this stuff. So it's been a part of a bigger much bigger thing than the wrestling itself. So to that end, I agree with you in that. I agree, but I'm going to say I hope that they don't go that route of, okay, it was Cena's last match. Hey, fans, join us on February 3rd for the Royal Rumble. Right. We're out tonight, you know. And I don't think they will, with it being the magnitude of Cena. But I'll be highly disappointed, I will say, if they do. Because, again, I'm a 52-year-old man. I'm not their demo. I'm not their target audience. But I have, the last few years especially, found a newfound respect for John Cena. He's never been my favorite, but I tell you, just based on the personality outside of the ring, and that's where social media has kind of exposed us to the other side of some of these guys, and sometimes not a good way. But John Cena to me is one of the good ones, and I think he's definitely worthy of that big time celebration, like we've kind of both agreed upon. So I guess, gun to head, who do you think that last opponent on December 13th is going to be?
Ric Flair. The final two last world champions go out together.
Maybe it'll be Charlotte.
Well, it should be one of the Usos. Otherwise, Rikishi might get upset.
That is true. That is true. I really, and that's kind of what I like about this is the unpredictability, because everybody's like, oh, that's so predictable. We knew that was going to happen. I knew it's XYZ. So I kind of like not knowing or having an idea. I don't think it'll be like, you know, because people are like, oh, The Rock's going to come, you know, it's the final boss and it's going to be the final showdown. There's been no indication that that's what it's going to be. I think they have time. They have 2 months roughly to tell that story, but I don't see that happening either, but it'll be interesting.
I think Rock's too busy with his Oscar bait film. And I mean, I would hope The Rock would show up at Saturday Night's main event. Just again, if they do any type of celebration, then I think Rock, Flair, you know, should be there. Mm-hmm. But I don't think either one of them should be wrestling Cena. And I mean, it'll never happen because I don't think he can go anymore, but Kurt Angle would probably be like the perfect bow to wrap up the, because then you also give Angle a chance to have a last match that isn't against Baron Corbin.
I love that idea. I didn't even think about that. That would be, because really, I mean, you think about John Cena, his start, it's Kurt Angle. It's that slap in the face. It's that call out on SmackDown. I like that idea a lot. But yeah, I agree. I don't think it'll happen, but
no,
that would be awesome. And like you said, a perfect way to tie up two careers in one night. But then do you take away from
Angle's
celebration with Angle's quote unquote last match too? But
no, because I don't think anybody would care as much, but then they just think, oh, too bad Chikara's not around, because then Cena could go there and face a protractor called Right Angle.
Oh my God. Was that a real thing?
No.
Okay. I'm like that. I could see that being a thing. All right, Chad. So that's our thoughts. Chad, you got anything else before we say goodbye this week?
Yeah, I was just going to say totally off Cena's subject, but over, if you have Tubi, DDP just dropped a docuseries called Change or Die, where it's taking five people into his accountability crib, including Butterbean and Marcus Bagwell. And if you follow DDP on social media, you've seen probably a lot of the footage of the show, but it's 9 episodes. I binged it over the weekend, and that ending left me speechless. It was very shocking. And it's not, I mean, if you follow the Marcus Bagwell story, you know that he, it ends before this year. Let me just put it that way.
Oh, okay.
So that's not the shocking twist. There's something else that is even more actually like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened. So
would a non-wrestling fan enjoy this?
Yeah, because it, I mean, other than Marcus being in there, it's three other people that are not wrestling related. It's okay. More, and as DDP says, it's not a reality show. They're not trying to kick anybody off. They're not trying to lose X amount of weight in an amount of time. It's just helping people change lifestyles to be a more healthy fit. And it's unedited, so DDP can throw out a few little F-bombs at times, but it's I think it has a lot of heart. So
nice. All righty, we'll check that out. Also remind you to check out the Out of Touchstone series on YouTube. You can follow Chad for all of those details and information. And again, thank you for joining us for this week's episode. Let us know in the comments who your scariest wrestlers are, but also let us know who you think Cena's last opponent will be. Thanks for watching and or listening, and we will see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.